I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.' Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and all the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. He went home amazed at what had happened." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate the reading. Let's look at this text and let's look at what actually happens in what we read. The women go to the tomb, they have their spices, they're going to do their thing with the body, but they run into these two guys in dazzling white clothes. And those two guys look at them and said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" So the women run. I would. And they go to the 11 disciples, you know, the 11 guys that followed Jesus and knew Jesus well and knew what he told them. And they tell them and they don't believe. They don't believe. How can that be? But Peter runs and he looks. And Peter is amazed. That's what it leaves us with. Peter is amazed at what happened. So let's do a test. How many of you were around for the fall of Rome? Raise your hand. Now, John, don't you raise your hand. You see, we know about that because someone told us. They wrote it down. Let's go for another one. How many of you were around for the Revolutionary War? You know what happened. You met George Washington. Anybody? How do we know what we know? Somebody who saw it wrote about it. We read it and we believe it. Isn't that interesting? If you look at this story, as Lisa read it, what you're going to see is absolutely no one actually saw the resurrection. They never saw it. The women didn't see it. What they did see are two angels. And the angels tell them, "He's not here." And they run and they tell the disciples, and they don't believe. What is the basis of your belief system? Do you believe the world has a history, that Rome ever existed, that there was a Revolutionary War, a Civil War? You weren't there, but do you believe it? What is the basis of your belief system? Is it, if I can't see it, I don't believe it? If I can't touch it, I don't believe it? Or do you base it on authority? Believe it or not, and some of you will believe because you are this type of person, I'm sure. But some people believe just in case. You ever heard of people like that? Just in case. Just in case what you have seen, heard, touched, or been told by an authority is true, you believe. For example, an American scientist once visited the offices of the great Nobel Prize-winning physicist Niels Bohr. And he went to Copenhagen and he walked into Bohr's office and he was amazed to find that behind Bohr there was a horseshoe on the wall, properly turned up so it could catch all the good luck and not let it spill out. The American said with a nervous laugh, "Surely you don't believe the horseshoe will bring you good luck, do you, Professor Bohr? After all, as a scientist..." And before he could finish, Bohr chuckled and said, "I believe no such thing. I just don't believe it at all. I am scarcely likely to believe in such foolish nonsense. However, I am told a horseshoe will bring you good luck whether you believe in it or not. Just in case." Isn't that true? You ever seen the movie The Mummy? And there's this guy in there that this mummy is coming after, and the guy has every religious symbol you can think of hanging around his neck, just in case. So he starts holding it up. You know, maybe you won't touch me if I'm this or this. A lot of us do that. Now, let me distinguish between believing because you have heard and because you were told by an authority. There is a difference. If we are all here in the sanctuary and, well, I'm going to pick on Jack Fisher. Jack Fisher comes down here and he says, "I'm going to tell you about some surgery I saw. I saw a famous heart surgeon and he cracked open a chest and he put his hand under the heart and started banging it with a hammer and it started working. You believe that? He told you." No. However, if one of the great heart surgeons was standing up here and told you a similar story without the hammer, because it's authority, because it's someone who actually does that, you believe it. So the women are standing there and the angels say, "He's alive. He's not dead." So they believed it on authority. Now, is believing on authority any different? Believing things on authority only means believing them because you have been told them by someone you think trustworthy. Not that you're not trustworthy, Jack. I just don't really see the heart thing happening. But we believe them because they're trustworthy. Like a geographer or a historian. 90% of the things we believe are believed on authority. For example, I was in the Navy. I've traveled all over the world, but I've never been to Africa. Never been to the continent of Africa. Do I believe there is such a place? Yes, I do. I can't prove it. I haven't been there. I can't tell you I've ever seen it, but I've seen things written about it. I've seen things on TV about it. So I believe it because authority says it's true. There is an African continent. The average person believes in the solar system, atoms, and the circulation of the blood on authority because the scientists say so. Every historical statement is believed on authority. None of us has seen the Norman conquest or the defeat of the Spanish Armada. But we believe them simply because there were people who did see it and wrote it down to tell us about it, and we believe on that authority. Now think about this, and this is true. A person who doesn't believe things on authority, as some people in religion, would have to be content to know nothing in his life at all. If we don't believe what the people who actually saw it and wrote to tell us about, then we'll have no belief. There's no history because we say we don't believe it. But let us return to our scripture. "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He he is risen. Of those who came to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared, which one saw the resurrection? That is, actually witnessed it. Anybody? How many? Well, of course, the answer is none. But what did the women do after the men in dazzling clothes told them that Jesus had risen? On authority, they believed on authority that the two men were telling the truth, so they went and they told the disciples. And what happened when the women told the disciples? Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. All the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. Why? Were the disciples not with Jesus when he told them it was going to happen? Didn't he say this is exactly what's going to happen? And was not Jesus an authority? The Son of Man must be handed over to the non-believers and be crucified and on the third day rise again. Were they not there? Did Jesus not speak as one with authority? Did they not truly believe in him, believe his words? Or was it the case, since they, the disciples, did not actually see the resurrection, they did not believe, and they did not see the angels? The women did. And so it began. The resurrection of our Lord was told not as a fairy tale, but as an event to be believed on authority from God. No different than the history that you studied in school. No different than the stories you read in books today when they have actual, real-life stories. You may not have been there, but somebody who was is telling you what happened. We can check and recheck our scripture, and we will find ourselves right where Peter was then. Peter got up, ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. You see, Peter still had not visually witnessed the resurrection when he ran to the tomb. He had not talked to Jesus. But he went home amazed at what had happened. Why? Because he heard what the women said and the tomb was empty. And that alone convinced him. That alone. What has to happen for you to believe? Would you like to make a trip over and look at the empty tomb? Do you need to see angels? The women in our text encountered the resurrection through this message that the angels gave them. We are told Jesus has risen, but we do not see the risen Jesus himself. As with all of history, we are not witnesses to what happened. Only believers through the written word. It's a historical account. It happened. There were people there who saw, who believed, who did talk to the angels. And later we find out that they did talk to Jesus. And Jesus came and he spoke to them. He walked on the road to Emmaus. Unbelief does not mean people believe nothing. It means they believe something else. People say, I don't believe it because there's something else they believe more strongly. Yet, here is where the Easter message begins its work, by challenging our certainties. Experience teaches death wins, and even the strongest succumb to it. Experience teaches life is what you make of it. So get what you can while you can, because soon it'll all be over. And the Easter message, our scripture message, says, really? How can you be so sure? Death is real, but it's not final. It's real, but not final. In Jesus, life gets the last word. That's the message of Easter. Experience tells us death is final. God says it's not. Jesus says it's not. Let us follow in the footsteps of Peter. We've heard and we believe. If death is real but not final, if Jesus is not merely past but present, if Jesus were to meet us here, what would life be then? The Easter reading stops with Peter's amazement, but the Easter story continues far beyond as God continues to challenge the certainty of death with the promise of life. Go ahead and tell God you think it's outrageous to expect anyone to believe Jesus is risen. Go ahead and tell God you believe death gets the final word. None of this is news to God. He has heard it all before. He simply refuses to believe it. Why do you seek the living among the dead? God wonders, what's wrong with us? Through the living Jesus, I give you the gift of life. And all we have to do is accept that gift. Isn't that a wonderful thing, to accept the gift of life? Why would you think I would offer you anything else? God says, of course I'm going to offer you life. Because there is not a soul sitting here today or outside of this building that God doesn't love. You see, that's the Easter message. Believe what you choose to believe, but understand that's not God's belief. And God has sent messenger after messenger to say, look, what you believe, it isn't true. Unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearing and believing. Hearing and believing. You can hear it, but are you going to believe it? You can read it. Are you going to believe it? If not, we need to change our history books and just make them blank. Because not one of us here knows anything but what we read. Right? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you're constantly challenging history, that you're challenging our certainties, that you're challenging us to look to you, to understand that you are a good God and a God who gives us life after death, a God who is living. Be with us, fill us with your Spirit, and especially on this day, Lord, we ask that you be with Caden as he has been raised from the water to take new life in Jesus Christ. Guide us and help us, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.